Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for Eco Money, where we bring you the latest in sustainability and finance. Now, did you know that out of nearly 2,000 global commitment pledged with the Science-Based Targets Initiative, Asian financial institutions represent only 20%? And 20% may sound like not a bad statistic, but could this be better? And given the regional focus on ESG investments, what more needs to be done to support regional financial institutions on their sustainability journey? Well, joining us on the line now to tell us exactly that is Michelle Loy, Vice President of Sustainable Finance at WWF. Michelle, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rachel. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Michelle, let's start off. As I mentioned in the intro, out of the nearly 2,000 global commitments pledged with the Science-Based Targets Initiative, only 20% are Asian financial institutions. Would you say that's high, low? How do we compare to other geographies?
Sure. In this context, I would have regional, I'll call financial institutions as FIs just for simplicity. Mm-hmm. Well, in the Asia region, there is an increase in pledges and commitments towards climate finance, such as net zero carbon commitments by 2050, regulations focusing on specific environmental engagements, like MAS environmental risk management guidelines, and also policy announcements surrounding climate risk mitigation. For instance, our very own Singapore 2030 Green Plan. While most Asian FIs have recently started on their climate journey as compared to their European peers, they are firmly adopting sustainable finance. The beginning of a climate journey really looks at the environmental and social risk to investment, but it will shift the impact eventually as we drive towards transformation of a low-carbon, nature-positive and inclusive economy. In this case, financial institutions have the opportunity to be a force for good and play a central role in the low carbon transition. In terms of our survey for the report itself, FIs that were surveyed, they acknowledged that they need to step up actions for significant impact with greenhouse gas reductions, but their strategies and ambitions are hampered by barriers.
Okay, so let's get to that those barriers in a little bit. But maybe we can talk about what the significance of this. Why is it so important for regional FIs to head down the sustainability path? I mean, some may say, you know, they've got a lot more to worry about. We're coming out of a pandemic. Things are just starting to pick up. There's risk management to worry about as well. We've seen an increase in fraud. Why is sustainability so important for financial institutions in the region?
Yeah, this is a wonderful question, Rachel. You know, in the latest 2022 World Economic Forum Global Risk Report, it clearly states that climate action failures rank as the most critical threat to the world, both medium-term and long-term. And so that has the highest potential to severely damage societies, economies, and the planet. And as we know, Asia is home to 60% of the world's population and also one of the most vulnerable regions to the impact of climate change. So while climate targeting setting is now a common place practice, delivering real-world impact is where it's paramount. So within Asia, there are huge opportunities to achieve this impactful change and where real impact actions are really needed. And so this is an opportunity really for financial institutions to up their ante, step up and take climate leadership.
Okay, but you mentioned there are barriers to getting there, according to the financial institutions that you've spoken to. What are those barriers?
Yeah, there are quite a number. So when we looked at this survey, we broke it up into two sets of barriers, between internal and external barriers. So for internal barriers, these are internal barriers within the organization. And there were about three of them, one of which is a strong justification or a need for business case for climate action, finding really the motivation and a need to understand the case for action. Secondly, there's also a lack of cohesiveness of climate strategy, both from a top-down and bottom-up perspective, where it results in a limiting business organization. And the organization really needs to move as one before they can really reach their targets. So you need a buy-in from all stakeholders, top-down and bottom-up. And lastly, also the size of the organization plays a role, where the lack of individual leverage from smaller financial institutions to engage investee companies. So in terms of internal barriers, those were the three that we found.
Okay.
In terms of external barriers, there were quite a number. In terms of external barriers, there were a lack of clear regulations to define impact products with a need for supporting policy environment, in particular marketing regulations. Also, there is a need for robust systems to track granular data, climate performance, and also transition plans at a company level. Interestingly, there were also conversations with the FIs in terms of profitability and fiduciary duty, where the FIs have to strike a balance between delivering profit at the same time achieving impact, while at the same time acting in their client's interest. There were also other concerns around reputation, where they are really apprehensive about focusing on long-term impact objectives, where it may be at the detriment of common industry portfolio alignment objectives, and critics will flag this FIs as having a lack of short-term action. And industry associations and collaborative initiatives may also highlight FIs who are passive in their climate actions. And so these are some of the barriers in which we found during our study, which was quite interesting.
We're speaking with Michelle Loy, Vice President of Sustainable Finance at WWF Singapore. Michelle, you mentioned in the report also highlights ambition, corporate ambition. Let's take a look at KPIs. I've spoken to some financial institutions and fund managers, and they're looking at evaluation, KPI, and perhaps ESG performance-based remuneration. Do you think that's something that could help?
Absolutely. In WWF's 2021 Respond Report, we found that KPIs and ESG performance-based incentives have yet to be mainstreamed by not only just Asian managers, but also European asset managers. So our recommendations to financial institutions is to align incentives with ESG performance across their boards, senior management, and investment staff. This ensures alignment of ESG goals for all levels.
But how would you recommend for FIs who are listening into this? They may be thinking, how do you even measure ESG performance?
That's a really good question. It really requires also a shift in the culture within the organization. They may think about the link between financial, natural, and social capital, where the latter two enable the assistance of financial capital. It needs to be looked at with a different lens. Business is not just about making money. It's about enabling the well-being of people and planet for a sustainable future. So it requires that mindset shift and, you know, doing away with the norms of how investing were in the past. And so we need to move to that next level of mindset change.
So let's talk about the link to FIs. You mentioned reports earlier and their impact on actually making a difference when we're looking at real world emissions. So going forward, perhaps you can tell me, what are some of the key recommendations that you have to move this forward in the year ahead?
Sure. In the report, we list out four recommendations that can help financial institutions break through these limitations of climate action. Firstly, setting up mandatory climate change training for all employees involving in working with investee companies, including board members and management, to help them understand the issue at risk and critical decision points. WWF Singapore Asia Sustainable Finance Initiative Academy, also known as the SV Academy, is a suite of e-learning courses to help finance professionals to build their sustainable finance expertise. Also, it's important to align the organization structure with impact goals and getting stakeholders on board. This can be done through the setting up of impact management system and identifying the constraints faced by each department of the FI when it comes to implementing impactful actions. Thirdly, also learning from good practices when it comes to maximizing climate action effectiveness, such as pushing for the setup of a science-based transition plan as a beginning step, or implementing a proper escalation strategy when goals are not achieved. Lastly, regulatory support is important on the course of action, where there's shared responsibilities between the FIs and the regulators.
Okay, Michelle, well, thank you so much. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for, but there's so much more that we could discuss on this front. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Rachel.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Michelle Loy, Vice President of Sustainable Finance at WWF Singapore. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.